Today's daf is daf Yud Aleph. We're holding still a bit behind on Yud Amud Beis, and we're analyzing the words of the Mishnah. We've already dissected some of the issues that were a little bit complicated. We managed to figure out how you could be responsible for the entire Nezek because of Miktzat Nezek, which we discussed yesterday at length. And then there's the interesting words about the Klal of payment. It says over there that if I was Hichsharti the Miktzat Nisko, so if I got partially behind making possible the Nezek, then Chavti, and then it uses a strange word, Bitashlume Nisko, what it says is, I am responsible not for the Nezek, I'm responsible for the Tashlumin of the Nezek. Now, Tashlumin is an interesting word because, I mean, we're used to the idea of Tashlumim as simply meaning payment, right? But if I would have simply said you're responsible for the damages, I mean, that's what that means. If you're telling me I'm responsible for payment, then we have to look in a little bit to that word, because we do understand that money, as I explained earlier, is merely an analog. You cannot really replace the damages. You can just pay the value of the damages. And what's interesting is that instead of saying, I give kesev yitein labaalav or kesev yashiv labaalav, it uses the word tashlum. Now, tashlum has a double meaning, because tashlum actually means to make up the difference. Lahashlim. Right? We would say nowadays, right? Lahashlim et make up the difference. And make up the difference would imply what? Note, says the Gemara, chavti benisko lo katan. It doesn't say you're responsible for the damages. It says you're responsible to make up the difference of the damage, which means tashlume nisko, which seems to be saying that there's another element over here that the nizek is going to have to worry about, that I don't have to make up that. I only make up the difference between that thing and the nezek. And what would that be? Tanina lahatatana rabbanan, this Mishnah is essentially telling me what I saw in the Braita. What it says in the Braita is that the words tashlume nezek imply, melamed, sheba'alim mitaplim benivela. So that if, now, a shore falls into a bore, we're holding now at the big line, first big line, on Yud Amud Beis is where we're up to. So it says in the Braita, the words lahashlim, to make up the difference, teaches us, if a shore falls into a bore, and now you've got a dead body in that bore, the owners own the dead body. They worry about the body. Of the shore. The one who dug the bore makes up the difference between the value of the nevela, so the corpse now, and the value that it was when it was alive a moment earlier. That is the difference that I make up. But I don't pay you back for your entire shore. I allow you to keep the body. Minan, Emilian, how do I know that? Omer Abami, the Omer Kra, note that it says, Make nefesh beima yishalmena. Now that, again, is the same language. You can't really, when you say yishalmena, what can that mean? That you're going to pay with the animal? In other words, you're saying yishalmena? What is yishalmena? The only way to understand the word yishalmena instead of yishalem is that yashlimena, he shall be mashlim, the difference in this behemah. He obviously can't make the animal alive again. So the only thing it could mean is to make up the difference between the dead animal and the additional value of its life. So therefore, Al tikri yishalmena ala yashlimena. The only way to really understand that is that it's in terms of being mashlim. Now, it's true that this is talking about an Adam HaMazik, and we're going to see that we have other psukim that allow us really to derive this as a din for most of the mazikim. Rav Kahana Mamihacha, Rav Kahana says, let us look, instead of in the inyan of somebody who actually damages himself, let's look at a pasuk that discusses a shomer, where now it says, Im torof yitaref yivi'ehu eid, which seems to be saying, the shomer shall bring a witness that, or witnesses, we've talked before about the word aid, what does aid mean, a katav aidin, that it happened that the animal was attacked out in the field, and then hatrefa lo yishalem, if it was indeed attacked by a wild animal, then he doesn't pay for it. Now that's the simple meaning of the pasuk. But we're dashing it like this. Im torof yitaref yivi'ehu ad hatrefa, meaning, Ad trefa yishalem. You pay the whole thing, if you would have to pay. Here we're talking about you don't have to pay because the witnesses was your fault. But if you would have to pay, and you can't show that you weren't negligent, so then you pay up to the value of the dead animal, which is now taruf in the field, but the trefa itself, you do not have to pay, which teaches us the same thing. So that if, we're talking about over here, Shomer Sachar, who is not responsible for things out of his control, for an ones, he's being paid to watch an animal. So if he would have to pay, he only has to pay up to the value of the dead animal that was taruf. Chizkiyah amar mihacha. Chizkiya says we can learn it out of the following, which is talking about Karen. So there it says, "Oh no, da ki shor yigachu mitmoshil shom." If lo yishbrenu ba'alav, the owner doesn't take care of that shor, so then shalem yishalem tach shor tachat hashor ve'amet yelo. Exactly, what does that mean? Amet yelo, the bait belongs to him. To whom? The one who is being mishalem, or the bait belongs to him, to the one who owned the mate originally. How do we understand that? We understand it, says the Tanna Dvei Chizkiya, that it belongs to the Nizik. Well, says you. Atomer le Nizik. That's all very nice, but Oein el Lamazik. Prove it. How do we know it doesn't mean Amet Yelo? That the guy pays now, the one who owns the damaging shore, pays for the whole thing, and takes the Nevela himself. Amret lo kachaya, please. That's not the way it is. Well, that's a great argument. My lo kachaya. What exactly? What does that mean? Yeah, because. What does that mean, lo kachaya? It means that you're supposed to think. That's what it means. Om Rabbaye, Yisak Adaitach Nevela Demazik Havai. If you would think that it means what you're claiming, that the Nevela belongs to the one who caused the damage, so then Lichta Rachman Ashor Tachat Ashor. Why do we have to talk about it, Bechlal? If the Torah would write, pay up Ashor in place of the Shor, to Lishtok. Where would I get the idea that the mate now would belong to anybody else? All you're trying to tell me is you got to pay for the damage you did. Fine, pay for the damage you did. That's all you need to say. It can only mean that the Nizik takes the mate. So now we have three tzukim, one by Karen, one by Shomer Sachar, and one by Adam HaMazik. And we need all these three. Let's read them. The case that we're talking about over here? Yes, correct. We're getting there. I mean, right now what we've brought is Maki Nefesh Be'ema Yishomer, and Im Tarof Yitarev, and Chizkiya Va'amet Yelo. The Chizkiya's Pasuk is the Shor Nagach. We're gonna darshan this as we go ahead. We're going to talk about the book. And we need all of them. Why? Because ikas rachmana make behema yishalmena. Let's say I would have said only the case where an adam goes ahead and damages. How about that? So I would have said that's because bishum delo shchicha. Now, how often does a man go and attack a shark? So over there, okay, the Torah over here does not make a big fuss over it because it's not something that society has to worry about all that much. Because remember, this is one of the elements that we need to take into consideration. If we're trying to structure a viable society, then the more something is likely to disturb the shalom of society, as the Mesillas Yesharim puts it, the two most important things in the world, Chizuk HaTorah v'tikun achvat ha-medinot, which in modern terms we think means brotherhood between countries, but in his terms meant the structure of society. Medinot simply was society.
Not
a country? No. So if that's the case, so these are the important things in life, right? Okay, so it makes sense that the Torah would be more marked on something that's more likely to affect the structure of society, and therefore maybe something that would happen often. It would put into place the design for seeing to it that people take full responsibility, because otherwise we can't afford for there to be any kind of lapse or negligence in that area. So trade for the shchicha. Aim alo. I mean, you're talking about over here interrelationships between people. Somebody takes upon himself the willingness to watch somebody else's thing, he's being paid for it. Obviously, that's something that's very common, and it makes sense to make him responsible for the whole business over there. Therefore, I need to tell me that even that case is also something where we let you off. So, tricha. Now, Yashmin or Treifa, on the other hand, let's say I would know the case of Treifa for Shomer Sachar. I would say Mishum de Memela. That's because I didn't do anything. I mean, over there, the damage was caused by some wild animal that came. I mean, you're saying, I could have done a better job of Shmira. That's the most you would be saying. Okay, but if I do something with my own hands, it makes sense you'd come down harder on me than if it just happened because I didn't do the absolute maximum to make sure it wouldn't happen, right? So over there, I might think, over there, it's done biyadayim eim alo. Now, even if I would know these two things, and I would make now at Sada Shav, I would say, okay, we let them off of this case, and we make it Sada Shava. Tosis points out, Gemara doesn't want to go through the whole jazz of the Sada Shava. We understand that, obviously, we would say that, well, it can't be that the issue is X, and it can't be the issue is Y. So it's not that we're letting you off because it's Memela. It's not that we're letting you off because it's Lo Shchicha. All right, so we make it common denominator. But that's only those things that share this entirely. I mean, how about if you have a case where it's neither? How about if you have a case where, I would say like this, Hamishum de Memel and Hamishum de Lo Shchicha, fine. But how about Hamet Yelo, which is said over here by the Shor? Over there, it not by bar specifically, which is what the Gemara needs to point out here, where it's both shlicha and biyadayim. Biyadayim not meaning bidei adam, but it's done by the shor in order to cause damage. So there's a direct attempt to cause damage. So over there, this is something that is common, and it's something that is done directly, not indirectly. Aim alone. So maybe over there, we wouldn't let you off. And on the other hand, if it would have said, I made you alone, I would say, mishum de mamona kamazi. Maybe we let you off where it's only something that you own that causes the damage. But how about if you do the damage yourself? Why should we let you off? Over there, take full responsibility and replace the whole shore. Don't say, you guys keep now the corpse. Avalacha begufa mazik emala tricha. So how do you explain that? Amalei Rav Kana l'Rav. So says Rav Kana to Rav, you're telling me that this is the entire logic? Taimed kazarach what about make yellow? I don't understand what you're talking about. Let's say that it wouldn't say any pasuk at all, okay? It says no pasuk. Now, I am somebody that owns a shore that damaged a shore. The guy says to me, there's no pasuk, therefore you have to pay me everything, from beginning to end. I say, okay, you know what? I'm going to pay you everything. I'm not going to argue. The first part of my payment consists of this dead body, which I hope you appreciate, because, I mean, I can pay you anything. I can pay you subi, okay? So this dead body... But that's for sure you killed. I know, I'm taking it for myself. No pasuk. Full responsibility. Okay, here's my first payment. I don't like a first payment of a corpse. What do you want me to pay you in pork bellies? It's the same thing. So I'm paying you with the dead body. What do I need a pasuk to tell me something that I could do anyway? So this whole thing doesn't even make any sense. Ovid Levi. Once you already came in all on your own and got up so early, now's the day to be involved with the big smile and the whole thing. So what's the point of this pasuk? Let's see that inside. You're telling me that it's only because time of the made yellow. Halav hachi hava mina nevela the mazik havi. What would you think? That the nevela belongs to the mazik. No, fine. So ashti itle ledidei kama trefot. Suppose I've got a yard full of dead animals, okay? I happen to be a knacker man. I'll give you 10 corpses, including the one that's yours. You're going to know the difference? So I'd be able, Yoivle, I'd be able to give it to you. Yoshiv, the rabot shavet kesev, afilu subin. It says I could pay him with anything. I could pay him with even subin. The daily boy, why couldn't I leave him his own dead animal in the first place? This thing doesn't make any sense. What? You're not teaching me anything by bringing me these psukim. So this can't be the point. The point's got to be, the difference is, and this is a major difference, if I'm paying you back, then I'm paying you back now, today. It's now 2 days later. The court has determined that I owe you this money. So now I have to pay you this money. You're right. I can say part of my payment, here's my first payment. The corpse of this animal. The corpse of this animal is now 2 days old. It stinks. And all you want to do is pay money to get the thing buried. Nobody's interested in buying it anymore, not even the Nackerman. So now you say, well, okay, that's worth 2 cents, or maybe minus 2 cents. Now what? If, however, Hamet Yelo means that it belongs to the Nizik, then that means that the Nizik had to take responsibility from the moment of death. And we say, Tim, I understand. Why did you call the Nacker man right then and there and make yourself 10% on it? Which, I mean, that's not my problem. That's your problem. The court is going to analyze the difference in value of the animal between its current value and the value at the moment before. Not, right? I mean, not current value. I mean, the value at the moment of death and the moment before. Its current value is your problem. That's not my problem. I'm not paying you back with this dead animal. I don't owe you for the dead animal. That makes all the difference in the world. If I needed to pay you back, I'd be looking at the current value. If I needed to determine what the value of your loss is, obviously I'd look at the first moment of the loss. So if you were too lazy to call a guy to take this animal away, haul it away, and pay you for whatever it was, that isn't my problem, that's your problem. Okay. So in terms of cars, you can understand instantly the difference that this would make. You were the one who left the car on the West Side Highway and came back to find it stripped, not me. I mean, I'm not responsible for the stripping. That's your problem. All right. So, that would be the Chiddush. So that we don't call this, therefore, to tell me, Abalim etaplim b'nevela, in the sense of that they have to accept it, but rather Abalim etaplim b'nevela in the sense of they are the ones that are going to suffer any losses that are going to occur after the damage took place. That's what it means. Now, that's already a very important idea. Lema pchat nevela tanai. Shall we say that this is an idea that there's not a consensus about, even though the Mishnah here is clearly telling me the din of Tashlumin Yisko means that. Is it, however, a machloket tanoi, the Tanya? Im taroth yitarev. Yevi'ehu aid. Okay, so we use that pasuk to tell me the din that the Shomer Sakar is also going to be able to deduct the value of the nevela at the time of death from what he owns the Baalim. But look how the Braita now explains that pasuk. Yevi'ehu aid means yavi edim shinitrefa ba'ones upator. Bring witnesses that this took place through no fault of your own, since a Shomer Sakar is pater on onesim, as opposed to a Shoel would be Chayev. So then you're Pater, and that's what the Pasuk means. Abba Shaul Omer, whereas Abba Shaul, he seems to be saying what we were saying. No, it means Yavi'ehu Eid, means Yavi'iduda Lebeitin. Bring the Idud. What is the Idud? Like it says, Baboker Yochal Ad. What is that Eid Ad? So in other words, it means Shalal. Uberav Yechalek Shalal. So the idea of Ayin Dalid is a way of referring to what's left over after the attack. So in this case, it would mean the leftover, the corpse. Bring the corpse to court. So, my love, Akanifli, apparently that's what the argument is. In other words, Mar Sava, Pchat Nevela, the Nizikavi, Umar Sava, the Masikavi. So there's the Tanakama seems to be saying over here. I mean, what could they be arguing about? You certainly don't tell me that Abba Shaul is saying it won't help you to bring witnesses because you're going to be chayev on onasim. There's not a single man, the Omer, who holds that a Shomer Sakar is chayev onasim. So that's not what they're arguing about. So what are they arguing about? Whether the Pusik supports this additional halakha that you could actually bring the corpse into Beit Din, which would mean that the Beit Din would have to analyze, obviously this means metaphorically, that they would have to analyze the difference between the value of the corpse at the moment of death and the current and the value of the moment before that one was alive. That's what you would look for, they're arguing about. So it's only Abba Shaul holds that you bring the Iduda Lebeitin. By the way, Tosfos has another two possible girsot instead of Iduda, which is a strange way of referring to a corpse. Arura, he learns, which would mean the accursed corpse. In other words, that which has no bracha left to it. Or somehow, he says some have the word Adura from Ne'edara, something that has been removed, something that's been taken away. Anyway, but Rashi's got a great lashon over here. Says the Gemara, no. This is an entirely new issue, this pasuk. Entirely new issue. The Kuleyama, the Nizek, of course the question is not over here about whether we analyze the current value after 2 days of rotting. This would be on the bottom of a bar now. As Aaron pointed out, we have the same pasuk there. What it's talking about over here is B'tarach Nevela Kamiflegeh. That's what the pasuk of Bar comes to teach me. Basically, what happened over here is that this guy was watching somebody else's behemoth. And now the behemoth is discovered out 30 miles from town where it was wandering around in pasture, which he had a right to do. And now it's dead on the ground. Now the cost of transporting this mate to the town where the guy says, well, you know, how easier to find buyers over here, it's not even worth it. So now there's the question. Who's the one that's got to take the responsibility? And certainly you can see this happening where you dig a bore. Animal falls in. Now you're coming, you're telling me, okay, but we're taking away the value now at the bottom of the bore. What do you mean, the value at the bottom of the bore? Are you including the $50 it's going to cost me to get somebody up here with a winch to get this thing out of here? Who's responsible for that? What are we talking about, a theory over here of what the thing is worth as if it's in the marketplace? So there, enochinami, that's the question that's between them. And if for this, we indeed, Vatanya, we indeed have a braita that tells us that, yes, this is an issue. And it is in Machlokas. And that's the question that Abba Shaul was discussing. Acherim omrim, and here is Aaron's posik about the bor, minayin sh'al ba'al ha'bor lehalot shor miboro. How do we know that the guy who dug the bor is the one that's got to pay for the winch? Talmud lomar kesev yashiv leba'alav ve'hamet. There's a whole different drasha. You pay the money and get him the mate. So pay the money and the mate. Obviously, I can pay the mate. I can pay with Subin. Aha! But the Subin you have to deliver. So that's what it's coming to tell me now. Ve'amate, you're going to have to deliver it as if it were Subin. But you can't tell the guy, well, that part's not on me. That's a groma bi'alma that happens to be found on the bottom of a bar. I don't understand in practical terms. This doesn't mean anything. It's a completely trivial statement because whether you view the fact that I drag it up as my responsibility to drag up, or whether you view it as the current value where it is, boils down to the same issue. What's the difference whether you view the cost of the winch as being on me, or you view the cost of the winch as irrelevant, and let's analyze its value at the bottom of the bar, which means minus the cost of the winch. The bar is not the same thing. It's exactly the same amount of money. It's going to be worth that amount less at the bottom of the bar than it was at the top of the bar. Fine. So I'll deduct the value only as it is at the bottom of the bar. That's one way of looking at it. Or I'll deduct the full value with it at the top of the bar, but I'll pay to get it out of the bar. Boils down to exactly the same amount of money. So who cares what we call it? What is this, some type of theory, an abstraction? Whether it's I'm chayev for the winch or whether I'm chayev to deduct the money for the winch. So explain it to me. If you're telling me that down at the bottom of the bar, it's only worth a zuz. Now if it would be up on the edge of the bar, so it would be worth four zuz. So if I'm paying for the winch, so I'm paying for my own value. So kitara, but anaf shetorah. I'm now going to be able to deduct the full value. And if not, so then I'm the one who lost that value anyway. So who cares how you view it? What we're talking about over here is where there is no detectable difference between its value at the bottom of the bar or its value on the top of the bar. What? Is that logical? There's such a thing? So it's like, absolutely, there is such a thing. People point out a strange phenomenon that there are indeed items that are sold as is. So I say, you do not necessarily include elements of shipment. You put something on eBay, right? You put something on eBay, it's up to the buyer to determine whether for him it's kedai, not kedai, but you don't include the shipping issues in the pricing. So as you sell, I'm selling you this piano. Come and get it. So now the question is, okay, for some guy, if you're located in Albany and I'm located in New York City, obviously I'm not going to buy a piano in Albany. If I'm located in Albany, or maybe I happen to be planning on visiting my kids who live in Albany anyway, and I've got a van, so then I'll think maybe I'll go to. So in other words, there are things where we don't take that into consideration. Somebody needs a keshura. A keshura is a beam. Now, he might be building some kind of thing for his animals out in the middle of nowhere. You'll find people that will buy. So there's some kind of thing, small items, that people don't take into consideration now, particularly where it is. If for me, I don't care. I'll take the trouble. I'll get it out. It's a good price. I like it. I'll buy it. Okay, so there is such a thing. That's what we're talking about. But in 99% of cases, you're right. This is an irrelevant point, because what's a nafkamina? But in a case where it is a nafkamina, we have to define who's the one that's going to take on himself the difference of actually paying for which to get it out. So over there, we need to know that there's a machlokas about who pays for the lahalot. And there comes along the bright that say, the balabor pays to be malah.
Handling and shipping.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. Omele abaya l'rava. How is it we said that? Hechidami, the Bibir Shavi Zuza, fine. Omar Shmuel. Says Shmuel, this whole halacha of evaluating what it was worth at the time that the damage took place. Damage. Remember that we had 24 avot nezikin. A pretty broad context for damage. I mean, what if a guy is a ganav? So he stole something. Does he also get the benefit of this idea? Well, I'm telling you, Shmuel, that the minag of Dayanim, this is the way Rashi understands it, Tosis had a girsa from the She'iltos, which Shmuel quoted Rav as Abba, when he often refers to Rav as Abba, as saying, Ein shamin lo legadav v'lo legazlan el nizikin. We only do the shuma for the other classes of nezik. But in something where, and the reason for this, as Tosis explains from the Yerushalmi, is in these two cases, ganav and gazlan, we have a special pasuk. By the Ganav, it says, Chayim Shnayim Yishalem, which we understand, pay what it was worth, Chayim, not Metim. So in other words, we're not going to give you the benefit of having the other guy worry about it. And when it comes to Gazlan, it says, Veshiva Gzila, Asher Gazal, which we understand, it should be in a state similar to, and obviously you can't make it, put it back to life again, but you can certainly look at it metaphorically in the state. In other words, the value that it had at that time. And that's simply because if I'm a ganav or a gazlan, I'm koneh the moment that I take it, and now I'm chayev ba'onasim. If I'm chayev ba'onasim, it has nothing to do with what it is now. It has to do with what it was at that moment. Because at that point, I become the equivalent of the owner. And therefore, I have to pay him as if I... Okay, Shmuel says that this halacha of our making the owner responsible for the difference of what happens to the nevela after the damage is caused is not true by a ganav and a gazlan. So that if a ganav picks up something from your house And now he's caught. And then you sue him. And by the time the court comes to a decision, the novella of the animal that he had stolen from you now has decayed. That's the ganav's problem. It's not your problem. As opposed to Nezikin, where it is your problem. And as I explained, Tosfos brings the reason for this from the Yerushalmi is based on a pasuk. It's not just a moral reflexive response. It's because of the fact that ganav and gazan works according to the moment that he stole it. So at that point, it becomes chayav ba'onasin. And if he becomes chayav ba'onasin, it's as if he's the owner, which of course leads us to the question what the din would be of a shoel in cases like this, which we're going to get to. Va'ani omer, and indeed, says Shmuel, I say the same logic applies to the shoel. And Abba Modali. Now, the question is what he meant. Iboilu. Did he mean, that I hold, even though you would think the Shoel is the same, but actually the Shoel is like other Nezikin and Abba Modali? Or was Shmuel saying, just like the Ganav and Gazlan? Since the Shoel becomes the equivalent of the owner, therefore, the Shoel would also have to pay fully. We wouldn't have this now dispensation that the one that he borrowed it from is the guy that's going to have to worry about the animal itself. The Abba Modali. Which way did he mean it? It's not very clear to say Afa Shoel. That's like saying an intersection. Take it. Yeah. Great. Which way? We don't know. So, Tashma, bring your Raya. Ugarva. You're talking about Abba, remember, is Rav. So, Ugarva, the Shoel, Narga Michavri. A guy borrows a hatchet from his friend and breaks the hatchet. Tavra, Otel, Kami, to Rav. So the guy sues him in Rav's Bezdar. Amalizio, Shomle, Nagra, Maoya. Go pay him a new hatchet. Shmavino. So clearly what he was saying is that since you borrowed the hatchet, you have to pay for the whole thing, and you worry about the broken pieces. Not you say, well, okay, now look, you know, I left you a nice blade. I mean, you can always sell that for something or other on eBay. Mamina, ain't shamin. So you see that the meaning was, ain't shamin. You take the full responsibility. Adarab, midi omale Rav Kahana Rav Asi la Rapa. Wait, didn't Rav Kahana Rav Asi say to Rav in shock? What? Dina hachi? Is that the halacha? Vishasik, and Rav didn't respond. I mean, it's Mashba that they caught him, and that he was wrong, and that actually he should have had a right to be able to subtract. And that's basically the two sides. So, I mean, Shmami Nashami, huh? Well, yeah, maybe. Itzma, Omar Ula Omar Rabbi Elazar, Shamin Leganav Legazlan, we actually will do a Shuma even for Ganav and Gazlan. Rav Papi Omar, no, Ein Shamin. Halachikli Alilchata, Ein Shamin Lolo Ganav Lolo Gazlan, Aval l'sho'el, we are shamin, and that's like Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, who exclaimed to Rav, Dina Hachi, and Rav was shasik, mashma that indeed, you know, the halacha is that we're shamin. Once we're on the topic of Ula Amar Rabbi Elazar, we might as well go through everything he ever said. So, Omar Ula Amar Rabbi Elazar, Shilya sheyatzta miktzata biyom rishon, u'miktzata biyom sheni, monim la min harishon. So here we're talking about dinim that have nothing to do with Nezikin, but have to do with the din of Tum'at Leida. So now, suppose a woman aborts a fetus, and we don't have any idea whether it's male or female, it's crushed, there's no way to check it out. So the din over there is, normally there's a halacha of Hilchot Tum'at Leida, which for a male is 7 days, for a female is 14 days, and this is even if there was no bleeding at the time of delivery. So it's purely a din of Leida, not a din in Nidot, followed by, for the male, 33 days of what is called Dam Tohar, so even if there is bleeding, it's postpartum bleeding is not Mitami. And for a female, it would be 66 days after the 14, for a total of 80 days, of which we have now the Yemei Tohar. Okay, but here we don't know. So what we do is we say, okay, look, as far as what sex it is, we don't know, we'll have to be Machmer. So let's be Machmer for Tuma, that it's female. So now the woman will be Tame for the next 14 days, and then we can only be Mekel maximum till 40 days for the remainder, because maybe on the other hand, it was male and she doesn't get the full Yemei Torah. So we have both Chumras on Yemei Tuma, minimum Yemei Torah, fine. Now in this case, we have a further problem. We actually never identify a fetus. But what happens is that this woman aborts not a fetus, but rather a shilya. Now when the Gemara refers to shilya, it uses it in two different ways. Usually means placenta. Modern Hebrew means placenta. But the placenta, remember, covers partially the fetus. And the way that it's used over here, it's talking about the entire sac, the amniotic sac, that now covers the vlad. But this comes out partially on the first day, partially on the second day. So we don't have full expulsion of the birth products. Now, we cannot be sure. We don't see a viable embryo. So this thing has now obviously become liquefied. But what we're saying is it is impossible for there to be the formation of a placenta unless there was also a fetus. So therefore, what we say is like this. Shilyashi atzta miktzatav yom rishon miktzatav yom sheni, monim la mina rishon. We start counting the days of tuna, even if there was no bleeding, from the first day. Amalei Rava, so Rava said, well, what in the world do you think you're accomplishing with that? How can you say that? Ma daitech l'chumra, what are you coming to be machmraner, that you're going to be matami anything that she touches? Well, that's great. It's a chumra da'ati l'day kulai. Basically, if you allow her to start counting from the first day and assume that the fetus was expelled on the first day, which means that that's the day of the birth, so then it's a chumra that's going to end up being a kula. Because now you're going to say, after 14 days, starting from this first day, she's going to be Torah. Why would she be Torah? Maybe the fetus was actually linked to the second part that was expelled on the second day and wasn't born on the first day, and you're now being Matayra Mirishon. Therefore, you said it wrong, says Rava. The way to say the halacha is not that monim la mirishon. What you have to say is lachush choshesha. To be choshedet, that maybe she's tamea. That's true from the first day. But mimna lo mamnia ela l'sheni. You can only count for sure from the second day. Maita mashvela. But what is he teaching us anyway? Ula amar Rav Elazar. I mean, what's the chiddush over here? The aim miksat shel yabalo vlad, that you don't find such a thing as a partial, because over here it's only a partial expulsion, right? So you don't find a partial expulsion of a shilya without assuming that there's a vlad in it. Because, I mean, if, lamaisa, you could say there is such a thing as a partial expulsion, so then I would say, okay, now I've got a sfeik over here. I mean, first of all, maybe we have over here the vlad. Maybe there's not the rove of the vlad in this. Maybe it's in the part that wasn't expanded at all. So we're going to say, maybe it was Yotze, and maybe even Rove was Yotze. I mean, if you're going to tell me that, no, it's definitely it was Yotze. Okay, so I say, okay, so I'll be Machmer. Maybe this was the Rove, and this was the Leila. But if there's even a question that it's possible to say that I might have entirely afterbirth products without any birth, so then why would I be so Machmer and a Sveik? But the problem is, if that's the Kiddush, I don't need Rebbe Ulam or Rebbe Lazar to teach me that Kiddush. It's a fair Mishnah. What's the Mishnah? Tanina. Shiliyashi atzta miktzata asura b'achila. Now, over here we're talking about something else. Here we're talking about an animal that had the same situation, which was a partial now afterbirth. So the din over here is, if this shilya was found inside of the animal, so then we would be allowed to eat it after shchita. So because even if you'd have a fetus inside of the animal, it would be a ben bakua, you'd be allowed to eat it without needing shchita. And it would be viewed as part of the mother that was mutter now through the shchita. Question, however, is if mostly it was born, so then it becomes aser because now it's no longer a ben bekua. Now it's its own entity, and certainly it's not going to be niter because of the shchita of the mother. And it says over there it's definitely aser be'achila because simin vlad be'isha, simin vlad be'beima, because a shilya is a 100% indication of there being a fetus, whether you're talking about an animal, you're talking about a human, all mammals work the same way, and there's definitely a vlad over here. So therefore, we have to be choshesh that in the part that came out before the shkita of the mother, rove of the uber was there. Once rove of the uber is there, it has a din of leida, and therefore, whatever is left will not be nitar with the shkita of the mother. Okay? So I now know that this is true of humans. So what do I need him to tell me? What's Ula Amar Avelozer coming to teach me? Obviously, it would be the same halacha when it comes to humans. Binogea, I'm not interested in eating the humans, but I need to determine when the birth is. The Gabitumi Vatira. So it's exactly the same halacha. So what's the chiddush here? Says the Gemara, no, there is a chiddush. Because Imimas Nisa, look, if I would have learned it out from there, I could have said, Hava Mina, that actually, Yesh Miktsat Shilya Below Vlad. It is certainly possible that in a part of an afterbirth, there is actually no content of fetus. That's possible. The only reason that we made it usur b'achila by the animal is because we're afraid, we make a gezerah, we're afraid if we allow you to eat the miksat shilya, so then even if the entire shilya would come out, so then we would say that maybe you could be matir that too. How would I be matir? It's already out in a case where it was reabsorbed. Happens very often. Very often by animals, right? So in other words, you'll have cases where, I mean, take a look at the famous Harriet stories, right? You've got cases where over a period of days, this animal is attempting to give birth. There's parts that come out, go back in. Now you've got to get in there to get it out. It's a mess. Okay, this can happen, obviously, to humans, too. So now the question is whether, if I shecht the animal, I would be matir. Somebody says, well, remember last year when we shechted That other cow, they said we could eat what's inside, not realizing that that was because only Mitzvah Shulya came out. But if all of the Shulya would come out, so then Vaday the Vlad was already Yolud. So maybe over there we make a Gezerah. But by the Yumim, you certainly can't make a Gezerah, because once it comes out, it's just Vaday going to be Tamea. So nobody's going to think, oh, there's such a thing as a Shulya completely without a Vlad. Why was she Tamea? So by the Yumim, there's no Gezerah. So then maybe in Achinami, the first day, which is a Sveik Sveika, we should be Mater. She's not Tamea. Therefore, I need to know this halacha by humans. So Gezerah Miksat, Atukula, Kamash Balan. Another thing that Ula Amar Rabbi Elazar said, a bechor that was nitraf betok shloshim yom, ein podimuta. You have a child, or we were talking about a human child, which was attacked and killed, according to Rashi, within 30 days of its birth. And you say to yourself, if it hadn't been attacked by that rat, it would have lived. And therefore, I should be chayev now to pay the kohen. And the din is ein podinuta. There's no fear of pidyon if the bechor does not survive till 30 days. V'chein toni rami bar chama, mitok shenema podo tifteh. Since the Torah says, you shall surely be podeh at bechor ha'adam. See, you might think this means, yochel afilu nitraf betok shloshim yom. Talmud lomar, that's why it says, ach podo tifteh. Ach podo tifteh means under certain circumstances, podo tifteh, because an ach is a miyot. So therefore, it's coming to tell me to exclude a case, ach chalak, to exclude cases where the child doesn't survive. The Tosus doesn't like this Pirish. The Tosus learns that is not what it's coming to teach me if the Vlad is not here. It's coming to teach me the Vlad is here. Nitraf doesn't mean it's dead. Nitraf means that it's a trefa. And therefore, we're now saying that if it's a trefa, not viable, even though it's currently alive, you don't have to pay. That's a chiddush. The Yomar will have a revelation.
So it makes it 30 days? Or?
It's irrelevant. It made it to 30 days, according to Tosus.
Yeah.
Another Amar Ula Amar Abelazar is Behema Gasa Niknet B'Mishicha. If you're buying an elephant, the way to be Kona the elephant is by walking with it, by drawing it towards you. Really? Did we not learn that it's just handing over the reins and you don't need to actually move it? That's true in the Mishnah, but it's a Machlokas Tanoim. And Ula Amar Abelazar was going, he was going like the following Tana, the Tanya B'Chachamim Omrim. The Chachamim say whether it's a Behema Gasa or a Behema Daka, it doesn't matter how small it is, if you've got to walk with it, the Meshicha. Rabbi Shimon says, no, that's not enough, you've got to pick it up. So if you bought a sheep, you've got to pick it up. If you bought a dinosaur, you also have to pick it up. Zuba Zuba Hakba'ah. The Gemara asks over there how exactly you're meant to pick up an elephant, and gives us the simple solution.
Pick it up on bundles.
Exactly. All you need to do is have an inclined plane, and you walk it up the inclined plane. Now you lift it up three tfachim off of the ground. Now you lifted it. The Amar Ulam Rebbe Lazar. Furthermore, another Maimer of Ulam Rebbe Lazar, Achin Shechalku, brothers that are coming to be Mechalik, an estate, Masha Aleihem Shamim. They estimate the value of their own clothing, but Masha Aleihem Vinotehen in Shamim. They do not estimate the value, even though they were all part of the same estate, they don't estimate the value of the clothing that their kids are wearing. And the reason for this is that we understand that generally people do not like bringing their kids into court for evaluation, and therefore they don't have to. And they don't strip the kids of their clothes to bring their clothing into Beit Din. And it's understood that, generally speaking, people are mavater on this. Obviously, if they're not, they're not. I mean, if they want to, you know, they're at each other's throats and they insist that they want all the kids to be dragged into court and go through the mud, fine. Omer of Papa, Pa'amim, Afmash Aleihem Ein Shavim. There's even times where we will not look at what they're wearing as being part of the benefits of the estate. When is that? Mashkachet Ma'bigadol Achi. The Nechlo de Lishtam Un Mile. If one of the brothers is clearly the older brother in the sense of being the one that represents the family, goes to court, is doing all the business deals, he obviously has to be dressed properly, and that's for the benefit of the entire family. And therefore, what he's wearing is not viewed as his personal benefit, but rather it's nechlu, everybody's happy, delishtamun mile, they want him to be respected. And again, as Tosafot points out, look, if they insist, you know, they can make a tumult over it, but this is what the norm is. Another interesting halacha that Ula Amar Rebbe Elazar, suppose you give something to a shomer, and that shomer hands it over to another shomer. So you give somebody something. Do me a favor. Watch my sheep. Now this guy accepts that chiyuv. He's going to watch your sheep as a favor. Now he gets a telegram, he's got to go visit his dying mother. Okay, so what's he supposed to do? Travel with the sheep? He's a very honest guy, so he hires somebody and pays him to watch the sheep for you. Now, if the Shomer Sachar is going to watch the sheep, he is even I have to do a better job than a Shomer Chinuch. So this guy says, okay, so I'm all right. How about the other way? You pay a guy to watch a sheep. This guy says, I got a telegram. I'll ask my friend to take care of the sheep for me. So he asks his friend. Now, something happens to the sheep. Is he responsible or not? Says Ulam Reb Elazar, if a shomer gives it over to another shomer, he's always potter. And it doesn't matter which direction he went. Whether he went in the direction of hiring somebody from his being a shomer chinuch, which means he made it even better, or whether he goes down a level. He was a shomer sachar and he now asks somebody to do him a favor, in which he's going downhill. So lo mi ba'i shomer chinam shemasal shomer sachar. He's for sure potter. Why? Dilui ayel shmirato. He's even doing a better job. El afilu shomer sachar shemasal shomer chinam. Even the other way around. Dash the grui gari l'shmirato. He's now made it worse. He's still potter. Why? That's a different problem. We'll talk about that in a moment. He's also potter. Why? Shemasal l'ben dat. Very simple reason. Absolutely. Since when? And this is an amazing thing. All of the other dinim of the mazikin have nothing to do with the level of the guy who's doing the watching, right? You're watching, somebody's watching your shor. Can the guy who was damaged by your shor say, ha, he didn't even pay the guy. He asked the guy to do him a favor. You call that shmira? Why, if he were a shomer chinam, he would have been potter on Gedeva Ve'aveda. Did you ever hear such a taina? Absolutely not. The guy could say, what's your business? There was a human being there with brains who was watching the shor. I took perfectly good care of the shor. Now, remarkably, shomer is part of the list of the nezikim, right? Okay, so then if a shomer can show that he watched the thing that you gave him to watch, in this case, the shor. So, but you didn't pay, and I was paying you. So what? You were paying me to make sure it was watched. It was watched. What are we talking about? This is a remarkable thing. That when it comes to the dinim of shomrim per se, it will make a nafkamina to us in terms of the chiyuv of what level of shmirah we expect the guy to be doing. But in terms of the patur of the shmirah, because he's a mazik, it's no different than any of the other mazikim. As a matter of fact, we can even get into the curious situation in which he was a shomer chinam, and therefore is potter on Geneva Ba'aveda, and he paid somebody to watch it, and that guy's chayav on Geneva Ba'aveda. Now he tells the owner, sorry, but your animal was stolen and I'm potter because I have a shomer chinam. Then he goes to the shomer sachar and he says, that shor I gave you, I know it was stolen, but too bad because I was paying you to watch it. You had to watch it even against stealing. I want the money for my animal. Can he keep that money? Remarkable issue, which we'll see above Metzia. But Meisa, we end up poskening, a guy can't do business with somebody else's thing, even though there's lots of people who think they can. But in this case, we won't allow him to collect. But in any event, fascinating issues that get down to the underlying interrelationship of the whole concept of levels of Shmira with the Mazikin, because this is the only laboratory situation that we have of Mazikin in which the Shmira defines the nature of the Mazik, because it's Hezek to the Mela. It's such a fascinating sugya. I mean, unfortunately, we're going to just have to hold it in for 3 months. I mean, until we get to Bava Metzia, I don't know how we're going to manage. But, okay, we'll try by keeping excited over our local sugyas. So over there, it would certainly be potter. Rava says, I disagree entirely. I say, Shomer Shemazel Shomer is chayev, no matter what direction you went. I don't care if you made it better, it'd still be chayev. Volomi boy Shomer Sachar. Shemasala Shomer Chinam, you'd be chayev, because you even went downhill to Geruya Gar L'Shmirato. I say, even a Shomer Chinam that pays a guy and turns him into a Shomer Sachar is also chayev. Why? Because the only way that the Torah made you potter is if you are able to go into court and take a shvua. I didn't do anything wrong with this guy's thing. I never used it for my own purposes. So now you go into court. The guy says, are you ready to swear? Well, I mean, no, of course not. How could I swear? I wasn't there, but I paid somebody. He can swear. I beg your pardon, says the owner. I don't trust that schmo for anything. Why would I believe his shvua? Well, what do you mean? I mean, he was paid. He's a shomer sachar like anybody else. No. The only time the Torah says I have to accept the shvua is where I entered into the relationship with the shomer sachar. Innate in that relationship is the understanding that I trust him, and if he comes back and says, this is what happens, I'm going to have to accept his word for it. But you're the one who engaged him. You deal with them. I'm dealing with you. Now, tell me, can you swear? No, I can't. Thank you. Please pay. Then you deal with this guy. That's your problem, not my problem. Therefore, I say, says Rava, no way that he's going to get be potter over here. Now, actually, it's a whole different issue, which is Tosis points out again above Metzia. We raise that issue, which is that a guy can say, and I think somebody asked it here, maybe it was Aaron, the guy can say, Ein Ritzoni Shei Piktoni B'Yad Acher. Who gave you permission to give it into somebody else's hand, which I don't accept in the first place? I gave it to you because I trust you. And I don't care if you have to go visit your mother. But basically, you violated our understanding. Tosis is bothered by the fact that here we bring in this other issue, which is the Ne'emanut for the Shvuah, as opposed to what the Gemara discusses. Anoyim discuss, actually, over there. But we'll wait till we get the Bar Metzia to discuss that issue as well. And we'll see the rest of Ula Amar Rabbi Elazar's lifetime tomorrow. Chavti b'tashlumi nizkor, chavti b'nizkor lor katani, ala b'tashlumi nizkor, katani lo adetan rabbonan, tashlumi nezik tijizah shavali, metaplim b'nevela. Minari, ila yomar rabami yom akar, maken nefesh b'ima yishalmena atikri, yishalmena yashlimena. Rav Kahana amar miyocha, im tarof yitaref yivyehu, eid atrifalo yishalem. Ah, that atrifa yishalem, where you need to be mishalem, but trifa atzma lo yishalem. Chizkia amar miyocha, v'hamet yelo, lenizik. I would say that's because Lord Shkircha. I would say for the Shkircha him alone. Shkircha. He has been a treif, I would say, because he didn't do anything. It's Bishum the Mumela. Avo Makad Ema, where over there is Biadayim, him alone. Viashmina Rani Tarti, I would say, Amishim the Lord Shkircha, Amishim the Mumela. Avava Amate Yelo, which is both, it's Shkircha Ubiadayim. Him alone. Viashmina Amate Yelo, Mishim the Mamona Kabazi. What would you have thought? That Abba Mina Nevela, the Mazik Abba, Ashti Ita, did they come and trade for it, Yaivle? Doma Ma Yashiv teaches us Rabba Chavakesev, Afilu Subim. So obviously the guy's own dead animal, did they meet boy? Lo Nitzcha Elo Lepchat Nevela, Lame Pchat Nevela Tanoi, the Tanoi. Im Tarof Yitaref Yevieyu Ein, meaning Yevieyu Dim Shinit Refaba Ones, Upatur. Abishol says, no, Yevieyu Ad, Midashin, Iduda, the Beit Din. So my Labor, come here, forget. Mar Savar, Pchat Nevela, the Nizik Avi, Umar Sav, the Mazik Avi. Lo, Kuliyam, the Nizik, Hachabit Torach Nevela, come here, forget. Indeed, Vatanya, Akhirim Omri, Minayim Shalba Alabor, La'alot shor miboro. Talmud Rava, kesev yashiv la'ba'alav ve'hamet. I'm only a male Rava. I don't get it. Hay torach nevela echidomi. Ilei v'de bebira shav yezuzah ve'aguda shav yarba. So ki torach ben anav shetar. I'm only lo tzrich de bebira shav yezuzah ve'aguda anav shav yezuzah. U mi yike kai gavna in? No, I'm rein she kishura v'mata bezuzah. Kishura v'taba bezuzah. Omer shul, ein she bilo v'gana v'lo v'gasa l'lo nezikin. ואני אומר אף לשואל, ואבא גודל, איבא אלוח, אומר, אף לשואל, יץ שמין, ואבא גודל לי, או אף שואל אז הגעת מגז, אין שמין, ואבא גודל לי. תשמע, הוא גם לשאול דרגה מחברי. טוב, אתה תקע מן הרב, אמר, אז ירשום לי נרגה מהאויה. שמע מן האין שמין, אבא זה יד הרב. ואני אמר לרב כאן ורבא עשו רב, וואט, דין האחי, ושתיק, שמע מן השמין. Itmar Amar Allah Amar Rabbi Elazar Shamin LeGanav LeGazlan Rav Papi Amar Ein Shamin Vilchata Ein Shamin Lo LeGanav Lo LeGazlan Aval Shrel Shamin Rav Kana Ravas V'Amar Allah Amar Rabbi Elazar Shilya Shiyatzta Miktzata Biyom Rishon U'Miktzata Biyom Sheni Monim La Min HaRishon Amar Le Rav Ma Da'atcha L'Chumra T'Chumra Dati L'Dei Kulai D'Kame Taharta La Min Rishon El Amar Rav The Right Way Say This Halacha Is That L'Chush Choshesha But mimna lo mandia ella l'sheni. Anyway, Michael Marshmallow. They mixat shulya below Vlad. Tanira shulya shiyatsta mixata. Asura beachila. Simin Vlad bisha. Simin Vlad bebeima. No, because imimat nitina avalina. Actually, maybe Yesh Miktzah Shel Yevelot Vlad. The only reason over here we said it's Aser is Gzeira Miktzah Tatu Kula. Kamash Malan, Yomer Ula Amar Rebel Azar, Bechor Shenitraf Metosho Shenyam, In Podinoto, Vecheitoni Rami Parchoma, Mitosh Shenemar Pador Tiftei, you might think, Afilu Nitraf Metosho Shenyam, Tamud Lola, Ach Pador Tiftei, Cholak. Yomer Ula Amar Rebel Azar, Eim Agasa, Niknei B'mishicha, The Tani v'Chachamim Omrim, whether it's Gas or a Gas, your Daka, Zuvizu b'Meshicha, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Zuvizu b'Hagba'ah. V'yomer ulam Rabbi Lazar, Achim shechalku, ma sha'alayim shamin, but ma sha'al b'neihem v'noteihem, ain't shamin. Omer of Papa, you should know that sometimes, af ma sha'alayim ain't shamin. What would be that case? Begod al Achi, the nechelu de l'shtamun milei. The Omer Olam Rabbi Lazar Shomer Shemasal Shomer Patur V'lo Miboy Shomer Chinam Shemasal Shomer Sachar. Where over there he was even Alui Ayin Shmirato Ela Afilo Shomer Sachar Shemasal Shomer Chinam Dash the Grui Gari Shmirato is also Patur because he did Shmira Masal Ben Dab Rav Omer Shomer Shemasal Shomer is always Chaya V'lo Miboy Shomer Sachar Shemasal Shomer Chinam the Grui Gari Shmirato. And Afilo Shomer Chinam Shemasal Shomer Sachar, he's also Chayev, even though he paid money for it. The Yomalei Atma Amet Li B'Shmu'ah. But Hai, Lomenu Li B'Shmu'ah.